Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and God bless you, and welcome to Sword of the Spirit Ministries. We want to welcome all our guests from around the world. We want to say God bless you all. We love you all in the love of the Lord. Tonight we have Brother Barney from Albuquerque, New Mexico, to share the true word of God. Amen. Praise God. And also, we are going to be live streamed. So if you're calling in and you also want to catch us on Instagram, Brother Barney will be sharing on live stream tonight. You could reach that at Sword of the Spirit Ministry. So that's what you look out for this evening on Instagram. Well, let us open up service. But as we always say, while we're doing that, as we take a moment of intermission, please get your Bibles prepared, pencils, papers, and that pot of coffee. And we will be right back. God bless you. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, again, I'd like to welcome all our guests from around the world that is listening to the true word of God tonight. Again, we have Brother Barney from New Mexico coming in this evening to share the true word of God. Amen. Well, let us open up service and then we will get straight to the word. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. And Father God, before I even pray this prayer, Father, I pray for forgiveness, Lord, if I've said anything, Lord, if I'm doing anything wrong, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your mercy, Father, will fall upon me tonight in the name of Jesus. Father God, we open up service tonight, and I pray, Lord, for a special anointing, Lord, to be upon this ministry alone, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that tonight, Lord, you will lead us and guide us and show us the way, Lord, through your word, Father God. Lord, we've just come before you, thanking you, Father, for the word, Lord, that we are about to receive in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that your word, Lord, will plant the seed of good fruit, Father God, that we may all bear good fruit. And Lord, as we're bearing good fruit, Father, may your word, Father God, be a lamp unto our feet to lead us and guide us and show us the way, Father, the true way, Father God. I pray tonight, Lord, that your will, Lord, will be done upon this ministry, upon your people, Father God. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will take over as it flows through this ministry and it flows, Lord, through every soul, body, mind that is listening from around the world in the name of Jesus. Father, open our eyes to the truth, Lord, because it is only by your truth, Father, that we are set free in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We praise you always. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory goes to God. Well, Brother Barney, go ahead, take it over. God bless you.
Amen. Glory goes to God. I'm not sure if we're on live stream, but if you guys could hear us, please text and let us know. Okay, let me try again. Give me 1 second, guys. I'll be right with you. Checking connection.
Well, while Brother Barney is getting live stream prepared, allow this moment and time for you to get prepared yourselves by getting your Bibles out and following as best as you can. Please get your pencils and papers in case we go a little too quickly. Write down your questions and get them prepared. And then when the word is finished, we will definitely bring you up on air, and we will be answering questions after the word. God bless you.
Okay, we're not able to go live stream. Let me check something here.
Oh, darn. Okay, well, all right. Well, while Barney is getting that prepared, I would like to share our beliefs. We are non-denominational. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We do believe in the Trinity. So if you're wondering if you're in the right place, you are. Amen.
Okay.
And we do teach and share obedience. Amen. Barney, go ahead.
Amen. Glory goes to God. We are on live stream. God bless everybody that called in on Blog Talk Radio. God bless each and every one of you. And those that are watching on live stream, God bless each and every one of you. And welcome to Sword of the Spirit Ministry. And before we get started, I like to introduce our beliefs. We are non-denomination. We believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We believe in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins on the cross. And on the third day, he is risen. We also believe he's coming back one day at the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet. And we believe that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. We believe in all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we are not affiliated with any other radio or prayer line. Amen? Glory goes to God. Tonight we're going to study about hyper grace. And instead of using one or two scriptures and preach for an hour, I like to use a lot of scripture and let God give us the understanding by his word. Amen? So I do have a lot of scriptures. I like to share a lot of scriptures. Get your pencils and your papers ready. And, of course, get your Bible ready. And my first verse, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2 at verse 15. And it goes like this. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, we come to your throne of mercy and grace by the blood of the Lamb. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And Father God, we honor you and we praise you and we adore you, Lord. Lord, we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. You will lead us and guide us and take over and minister to us. Open our eyes, our ears, prepare our hearts to receive your word. And Lord, let it be planted in our hearts and let us apply your word to ourselves and grow on it. And let it bring forth much fruit for your honor, for your glory, and also that we may share it with others. in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Amen and amen. Amen. Verse 16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you must freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest of it, you will surely die." So right there, God gave the first man, Adam, the very first commandment. It was the very first commandment that God gave to Adam, which also applies to mankind, because Adam represents mankind. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So right there, it's a lie, because God didn't say that. "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die," which we all know that was a lie. "For God had God doeth know that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her. And he did eat also, so both Adam and Eve." So what happened in the garden? First of all, it's very important and also goes with the whole book and throughout where Jesus and the apostles are telling us over and over. Do not be deceived. So what happened in the garden? They believed a lie. They was deceived. They believed a lie. Eve believed a lie. Eve was deceived. And Adam willingly took of the fruit. Amen. So, but what they both done, they disobeyed God. It was an act of disobedience towards God, because God commanded him. It was the first commandment of God, and they disobeyed God. They believed a lie, and therefore it is a sin. Why did I read this chapter? Because it's the very first sin that brought down mankind. It was the fall of mankind. Disobeying God, disbelief. I mean, they believed a lie and disobeyed God. Amen? It is very important to understand that. Now, the term hyper grace has been used to describe a new wave of teaching that emphasizes the grace of God to take away of other vital teachings such as repentance and confession of sin. Hyper grace teaching maintain that all sin, past, present, and future, are already forgiven. So the sins that you are going to do, the mistakes, not purposely in planning, premeditated, the mistakes that the sins we're going to do tomorrow, they are already forgiven. So therefore, we do not have to repent from them. Okay? That's hyper grace. There is no need for a believer to ever confess it. Hyper grace teachings says that God looks at us, he sees only a holy, righteous people. The conclusion of hyper grace teaching is we are not bound by Jesus' teachings, even as we are not under the law, that believers are not responsible for their sin, and that anyone who disagrees with this teaching is a Pharisee and a legalist, and that's what they call us if we don't believe in hyper grace. Hyper grace teachers change the grace of our God into a license for immortality, according to Jude chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus' words to the seven churches in the book of Revelation strongly contradicts the idea that Christians never need to repent. Amen? And I'm going to read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. And it goes like this. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. This is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to the churches. In Revelation chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4, verse 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Amen. So this is no other than the main boss of the church telling the church there's a need for repentance. Amen. Besides, if the Holy Spirit does not call us to repentance, why they tell in the letters to the church, Jesus Christ is saying, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second bit. Amen. If this letter to all the churches and every church at the end says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. So the Holy Spirit does convict us and tell us about conviction of sin, that we must repent. And there's also a teaching that also goes along with the hyper grace, that the Holy Spirit does not convict us of sin. Well, it's in every letter to the church. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And what did the Spirit say to the church? Repent or else. Amen. Therefore, let every man be a liar, but God's word be the truth. Glory goes to God. Jesus rebuked 5 out of 7 churches and demanded, not only told them, well, maybe it might be a good idea, but he demanded repentance from them. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3 says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 says, I know your works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou would be hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I have loved, I rebuke and chastise. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. So, excuse me, if we do not have to come to the Lord whenever we make a mistake and ask for forgiveness for our sins and repent, if we don't have to, according to hyper grace, why does the Lord not only he commands it that we repent? Amen? Well, maybe he's not talking to the Christians. Maybe he's talking to the Jews. Maybe we should give this chapter to the Jews also, or to the non-believers. We cannot say that he is specifically talking to the church. Amen? For from believers being unaccountable for their sin, they must answer to God for their disobedience. And this is also found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Amen? We all have to give an account on judgment day, and when we stand in front of our Lord Jesus Christ and give an account. The preachers and teachers of hyper grace, of the doctrine of hyper grace, discount the Old Testament. They do not count the New Testament. They discount the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments as irrelevant to the New Testament believers. They even teach that Jesus' words spoken before his resurrection are part of the Old Covenant and no longer applicable to born-again believers. But is this true? I'm sure a lot of us heard that what I just read now, because the Old Testament, anything before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they do not count even the words of Jesus, and it's not applicable to a born-again believer. I heard this many a times. In Mark chapter 13, verse 31, it says, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The statement that Jesus made, anything that he said his words would not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word still stands. Amen. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised that the Father would send the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have told you, he said in John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. Glory goes to God. If Jesus' words are no longer applicable to born-again believers, anything he said before the resurrection, why would we need to be reminded of his words by the Holy Spirit? Amen. Hyper grace teaching is a good example of mixing truth with error, and emphasizes on the beauty and power of God's grace. It is good. But some teachers are neglecting what Paul called the whole counsel of God in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. For example, it is true that Christians have been forgiven by God, but that doesn't mean we never have to confess our sins. Confess your sins. If we are to confess our sins to one another, why would we need to confess them to God, since every sin is ultimately a sin against God, according to Psalms 51:4. It says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Amen. So therefore, we must confess our sins not to one another only, but also directly to God, because he's the only one that can forgive us. Amen. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also, I must include, it's not only just confess, Lord, I've done this and I've done that. We also have to repent from it. That's part of being a confession to God, is repenting from it. Amen? It begins, 1 John 1:9 begins with, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is cause and effect statement, implying that we cannot have the second without the first. As blood-bought Christians of God, children of God, we do not continue to confess our sin in order to be saved from hell. We confess and repent in order to reestablish an intimate relationship with our Father, that we are positionally righteous, but partially sinful in our nature. Amen. 1 John verse 10 says, chapter 1, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In other words, yes, the blood of Jesus Christ washes our sins away and makes us whiter than snow, but we still make mistakes because we are still humans, and that is our nature. But we are not supposed to continue in the same mistake over and over and over and over. Therefore, it is no longer a mistake. And this is why when we do make mistakes, in order to be right with God, in our relationship with God, we have to confess our sins to God and repent from them. Amen? So, to counter this argument, hyper-grace preachers deny that John's letter was written to believers. However, 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 1, begins like this. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. John is clearly writing to believers, to whom he personally knew. He indicates that his believing friends may indeed sin, and that when they do, they need to confess it. Amen? So in other words, John is not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. Hyper-grace preachers also claim the Holy Spirit will never convict Christians of their sin. Mature Christians should recognize this policy right away. Every disciple of Christ has felt the overwhelming of conviction of the Holy Spirit when he or she has sinned. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the truth, the Spirit of truth in John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, when I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Amen. Give me a second and drink some water. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom, but to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume, and who is adequate for such a task as this. Amen. When we speak the truth, it will offend the ones that do not have the truth. But when we speak the truth to a believer that knows the truth, that has the truth, it's a beautiful thing. Amen. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit does that's in us. Amen. In Proverbs 24, verse 24, whoever says to the guilty, you are innocent, people will curse him and the nations denounce him. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty and the rich blessings will come upon him. Amen. So in other words, you need to call it for what it is. You cannot sugarcoat the word of God or anybody for that reason. It should not be a surprise to us that we follow Christ, and people who want to remain in sin will start to get uncomfortable around us, in other words. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. It is also means the true word of God will convict them. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Amen. The word of God will bring everything to the light and will expose. Amen. Glory goes to God. Truth, by its very definition, will not tolerate anything that is false. When the spirit of truth abides in a believer's heart, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he brings conviction about anything that is not truth. Amen. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of ram. Amen. Why did I read this scripture? Because hyper grace teachers say, if you are not hyper grace, then you are a Pharisee or you must be Catholic. The Pharisees and the Vatican Jesuits are definitely not obedient to God. And it doesn't go with 1 Samuel 15:22. Amen. Obedience to God is better than sacrifice. Much of what hyper grace teachers and preachers is valid. A lot of what they say is good and true. We are indeed saved by the grace of God, and there's no doubt about that, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift from God, and not by works, lest any man should boast. There's no way that anyone could work their way into heaven. It is only by faith of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, and through the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection, shed blood of Jesus, the word of God. It is all by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Amen. There's no way we could earn that. It's something that is given to us. So they stand correct on that part. God's grace is marvelous. It's great, and it is free. 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. However, hyper-grace teaching is out of proportion to the rest of Scripture. Anytime one doctrine is emphasized to the exclusion of the rest of it, we fall into error because we fail to correctly handle the word of God with truth. Amen. We cannot take one verse and put out another verse, a verse that goes with it. Amen. We have to have the whole conclusion of the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So we cannot make a religion out of one verse. We also have to know the rest of the Bible, the rest of the word of God. Jesus was full of both grace and truth, according to John 1:14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So you cannot take grace and leave out truth. When it comes to the word of God, grace and truth goes together. Jesus Christ, God showed us his love through his son, Jesus Christ, who was full of grace and truth. And you cannot separate them. Amen. The two are in delicate balance. And a tip of either side can result in a false gospel. We got to be careful not to do that. We must always compare any new teaching with the whole counsel of God. Anything that comes out that's not in the Bible, something that's new, something that people came up with, a new doctrine, a new tradition, a new religion, and learn to discard anything that bears even slightly from the truth. Amen. Remember Genesis chapter 2, how we read earlier. God gave his first commandments to Adam, and in Genesis chapter 3, they believed a lie. They disobeyed God, and therefore they sinned. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Amen. Has anything changed from the beginning? No. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Disobedience to God is a major sin, so major, it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. How important is obedience to God? Amen. In Luke chapter 5, verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Every time we hear this scripture, we don't hear the full scripture. We always hear people quoting it and say, well, Jesus loves us because he came for the sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. But the other two words are always left out. We need to read the whole scripture, the complete scripture. What it says is, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Amen? We cannot leave that out. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 says, now go write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come and forever and ever. Amen. So God wants this particular scripture to go on even until the end of days, in the last days. Amen. And it says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of God, would say to the seers, see not, the seers are prophets of God, and these are the children of disobedience, obedience, saying to the prophets of God, what do they say? They say with to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Amen. So shall we give that one to the Jews as well? Well, it says in the word of God, God wants this word to be known even in the last days. Why would God want that? Because that's what we have in the last days as well. People are saying, do not tell us the truth. Do not tell us what God is telling you. Tell us nice things. Tell us smooth things. Tell us lies. Amen. Did God know this is going to happen? Of course he did. That's why he wanted that scripture in there. And Jude 1, starting at verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men that crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. So Jude was going to write them concerning a salvation message, but it was urgent that he write right away because there were certain men that sneaked into the churches and started to preach a different gospel, but there was ordained to condemnation. These are ungodly men turning the grace of God into a life of sin and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot abuse the grace of God. That's a false teaching. That teaching snuck into the churches. Unaware, people didn't notice it, and it snuck in there, and somehow it made its way, and turning the grace of God into a life of sin. We cannot abuse the grace of God. Amen? And he goes on and say, I will therefore put in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroying them that believed not. Amen? Is verse 5 different than what we heard earlier? No, it's saying be very careful, because remember, God never changes. Even though God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, later he destroyed them, some of them, in the desert because of unbelief. This is a strong warning in the book of Jude. It's saying the same thing. Do not abuse the grace of God. And look what he's also comparing it to now in verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Why is Jude comparing these two scriptures with what we read earlier concerning abusing the grace of God? That's how serious it is. It's a strong warning not to abuse the grace of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, For the grace of God that brings salvation, this grace, the true grace, we're not talking about cheap grace or hyper grace, the true grace, it says, For the grace of God, what grace is that? The one that brings salvation, the true grace of God that brings salvation, had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want to read this real quick. Revelation 22, because we only have a few more minutes. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielding fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Amen. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Amen. And they shall see his face, glory goes to God. And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Amen. And they shall reign forever and ever. Glory goes to God. And he said unto me, these things saying are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show me unto his servants these things which must be shortly done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down and worshipped before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In other words, he's telling him, this is also for the last days. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my rewards is with me. To give every man according to his work shall be, to give every man according to his works. Amen. Jesus is saying when he comes back for his church, to give every man according to his works. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus has the final word. He is the Son of Man, the Son of God. He is Alpha and Omega. Blessed are they that do his commandments. What do you mean? Well, we heard we're not supposed to keep the laws of God or his commandments or anything after what was written after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But look what he says, the one who is the beginning and the end, the one that has the final word, he himself says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Amen. I like to hear somebody change that. Maybe we should give this for the Jews. Maybe he was talking to the Jews, right? You want to give this scripture to the Jews as well? For where out are the dogs and the sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth to make a lie. Well, Jesus is talking to the Jews. I don't think so. He's talking to the church. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Did you hear that? I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who heareth say, come, and let him who is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from these words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory goes to God. We're running out of time. So I hope everybody that heard the sharing tonight, how important it is and how serious it is not to get involved in the wrong teachings, not to abuse the grace of God. Hyper grace is not biblical, and there's a strict warning, and what we read is for the churches. And if you are the body of Christ, you are the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Glory goes to God. I hope everybody got a blessing out of tonight's sharing. Glory goes to God. Nancy, back to you.
God bless you, Barney. God bless you, Barney. We only have 4 minutes. I do apologize. Our brother Barney loves to preach the word of God. Amen. Well, I might have enough time for at least one question. If you have any questions, comments, please press number one on your keypad, and I'll bring you up as soon as I can. God bless you. Press number one. Amen. All right. Well, amen and praise God. Then I guess everybody got fed and blessed. Amen. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to go. Oh, wait. Hold on. We do have one. 505-550. God bless you. You're on air. God bless you, caller. You're on air. Okay. 505-550. We can hear you now.
Okay, I wanted to know, okay, when you say faith, okay, does faith means know that God exists or know being obedient to God? What's the difference, the meaning to faith?
Amen. Faith as in you are saved. You are not saved by works. You're saved by the grace of God. I'm sorry, the people on live stream cannot hear the questions. We could, but you can't. But the question was, the meaning of the word faith, does it apply to believing in God? And what was the other part? Sister Faith?
Okay, because some people say, okay, I believe in God, I have faith, but all they know really God exists. Uh-huh. When it says faith, that means, does that mean being obedient to God?
Amen.
Doing what he
says? What does the word faith actually mean? Believing
right.
There's a God or being obedient to God. Amen. The original, in the King James Version, everywhere or most everywhere, wherever the word belief, actually, if you look it up, it translates into obeying. It's not a one-time thing or just believe there's a God. It's obeying God. So the word faith and belief is also as in obeying God. You have faith in God. You trust God. That's faith. And then you have faith in God. You believe because you continue in your faith. You continue to walk in your faith. You continue to obey God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else have a question or a comment? I've got 2 minutes more to spare. Please press number one on your keypad. I'll bring you up on air. God bless you. Amen.
If anybody has a question on Blog Talk Radio or live stream, amen, go ahead. We have 2 minutes left.
And
thank you, Sister Lady in Red. God bless you, too, Lady in Red. And glory goes to God. God bless you.
Well, amen. Praise God. Well, glory goes to God. Well, Barney, I believe that the word was shared, and we thank the Lord tonight for that word. Because is it only by God that you were led and by the Spirit? Amen. Praise God. Well, we are here Mondays and Fridays, 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 9 o'clock Mountain Time, and I believe it is 8 o'clock Pacific Time. You can also, please, God bless you, reach us on Instagram, Sword of the Spirit Ministries. If you have any strong questions, or you can reach me at Just Pray with Faith on Instagram. God bless you all. And we love you all in the love of the Lord. And we will see you next week on Monday night for the Watchman Report. Come on in. Know what's going on around the world. We have news alerts from everywhere. So God bless you. Barney, do you have anything to say to your followers?
Amen. Thank you, everybody that joined us on Block Talk Radio. God bless each and every one of you. And we love you. And also, God bless all our brothers and sisters that joined us on live stream. And somebody asking me if I have any roots in Hebrew descent or Messianic. No, we are not Hebrew, Jews, or Messianic. And thank you, Sister Marie, for joining us on live stream. God bless you, too. And all our brothers and sisters, glory goes to God. Thank you for your comments. And I want to say good night, you all. God bless you all. And I want to leave you with John 17:17. Sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Good night, you all, and God bless you.
Oh, Barney, can you do me a favor and tell Brother Philip we said hi? He's on, yeah, I believe he's on live stream hearing you.
He's on live stream. Brother Philip, if you're with us on live stream, Sister Nancy said to say hi to you and your family. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
God, amen. All right, people, I guess we'll see you all back here on Monday. So do not be late. There is consequences. Joking, sense of humor. See you guys back on Monday. God bless you. Bye.
Amen. God bless you all. Good night.